Hey everyone, it's Josh. I am back. I'm back on the mic. I've got a new show here, The Official Opinion. Super excited to be back. I've been kind of on a hiatus for a couple years. Some of you that engage with me or know me, speak with me on a personal level, off of social media, off the internet, off the interwebs. My wife and I, Dakota, my wife, we've got three daughters. Our youngest was born May 2019. She's had a bumpy road. There's been some health issues along the way. So as parents, it was really tough for us to, there's just a lot of adjustments that had to be made. A lot of things that we had to push to the side and, take care of for her and for our family. There was a big move to the Milwaukee area there for a year that we made, with some of those decisions in mind. So, it's great to be back. We're back in Indiana. I thought about getting back into my former podcast, which was Inside and Out. It's kind of an Indiana basketball based podcast, but since getting back to Indiana late summer of 2021, I've become a licensed Indiana State Athletic Association, or Indiana High School Athletic Association, I should say, basketball official from varsity on down. So this past season was my first season donning the stripes and a whistle. So it was a great experience. It was good for me, both mentally and physically. I played basketball in high school. I played in college. The game is one that I love immensely. It's something that, I'll never be able to break away from. I don't think, whether it's in a coaching role or officiating, I just want to be a part of the game. And that's really allowed me to do that. So that is where this show comes in. Again, The Official Opinion. So again, there'll be a lot of opinions on this show. The officiating world struggles to have good numbers of officials. Obviously, I'm not innocent in this category where, the officials catch a lot of flack. Really before I understood what it's like to be an official, just a lot of contempt towards officials. There was just some games, obviously, with an emotional connection to, Indiana University Athletics, and other teams that I cheer for. I think the officials are always a scapegoat, but now being on that side of the fence, I completely understand that it's not as easy as it looks. It is certainly not as easy as what you would think it would be. You try to be an invisible part of the game. I think sometimes that's an official's best compliment if nobody knows you're there. But at the end of the day, your biggest job is to really, I can't say control the game, but you have to officiate the game with the rules in mind. You call the violations and things like that. And you really want to let the players play, because that's what everybody's there to see. Being up close in the action, you like to see good players play. And, you have to obviously call a game as it's meant to be called. But it is a very, very tough, very tough job to do. Now that I've done it, I certainly don't, envy, myself or any other official. It's certainly a pleasure to do it. But it's not easy. So on this show, I'll discuss obviously certain events or certain calls that sporting events. If there's a big moment involved in involving an official, whether it's a play at a certain time during the game, I'll try to give my two cents from my point of view. But and that kind of brings up another point that it didn't really know what it was like. Until I was again on the floor in the stripes. It's everybody at home in the arena has generally a better view than what the officials do. And that sounds crazy. being sometimes being close to the action can almost be a detriment because you don't have the space or the angles to that everybody else does. Obviously, officiating, a big part of it's requiring you to be in the right position to make the right call. But slow-mo TV, replays, endless replays, are not an official's friend because, us officials are, we're tasked with making a quick reaction decision. It's a bang bang play. An official has to be able to comprehend what happened, make a decision, and make the call. And it's got to happen in an instant. We don't get the luxury of seeing it over and over again. Obviously, in a few situations, obviously we know what the replays are, but when you have to make a decision, you don't get to pause and rewind and look at it again and then blow the whistle. It is you have to make that decision right away. It can be tough. Mistakes are made. This is an event, a sporting event that is played by humans, that is officiated by humans. There's going to be human error. But it's tough. And I go to a lot of sporting events, and the angles, you can sit, 13 rows up and have a better angle depending on what side of the floor you're sitting on and where the play happens. But that's what officials are tasked to do, is make a bang bang decision. And a lot of time you don't get to look at it from six different points of view. You have your line of sight, you see a foul, you call a foul, you see a violation, you call a violation. It's not easy. And kind of going back to, I always had just expressed anger or discontent with officials, and now I understand why it's just it's hard. And I, there is area for criticism and things like that. But for me, on the show, to just be full of opinions, I'll try not to criticize fellow officials, because at the end of the day, I've made mistakes. I'm a young official. There is certainly no, there's no perfection. You strive to be perfect, but at the end of the day, there's no perfection in this business. As much as people would want it. So, it's been fun though. It's been a change of pace for me. Definitely getting back to the game's been fun, but. Yeah, certainly on the show you will not see me criticize. Well, I try not to throw anybody under the bus. I think there's decisions that can be criticized. I criticize my own, the own games that I work. I've had my dad's come to a game or two and is taking some videos, and we critique it after a game, like I was back in high school or back in college, and he made the road trip and would record it, and we'd break down some film and. In the car. It's been good for me. So, I hope you all thoroughly enjoy the podcast. Obviously, I'll have much more structure moving forward, but certainly hopefully a fun thing for you all to listen to. It's going to be certainly a fun thing for me to talk about. Obviously, I will try to book some guests to be on the pod in the future, but it's certainly been great just thinking of this idea. I've had some push from some fellow Indiana fans and some folks that I'm close to, so to really start this podcast. So it'll be good. I'm excited. So I hope y'all enjoy it. But I'll talk a little bit. Last night I was at the Indiana State High School Boys State Basketball Championships. I was at all four class games. Saw a couple really good games. Two games were a little lopsided, but certainly full of great talent and great players. So it was fun to watch. Definitely, Cathedral looked really good. They disassembled Chesterton pretty easily. I was thoroughly impressed with how they played. I was kind of surprised Chesterton was 29-0. They did not look like a 29-0 team last night, but. Definitely hats off to Cathedral. They played very well. It was nice to see North Davies capture the first state crown in 1A. So that was That was really cool to see. First state championship in school history. I lost to North Davies when I played in high school in a regional. So that program has always been a thorn in the side of us Southern Hoosiers. Providence took down Central Noble in the 2A game. Connor Asijan from Central Noble is heading to Wisconsin next year. Providence did a really good job of icing him out of the game. That Providence team was very, very impressive. The Beech Grove Hornets took down Mishawaka Marion. That game was great, very, very, very contested. There was Anthony Ball, who's a 6'6" junior at Beech Grove. Very impressive. I think he had 17 points and 20 rebounds without looking at the stat sheet, but he played extremely well, just all over the boards. He probably had at least 7 blocks, if not more. But he was absolutely all over the place, and certainly a fun watch there. So the officiating was good. I tried to pay a lot of attention to that. There's really, really no questionable calls. There was a big moment at the end of the 1A game. North Davies was up 3. A player from Lafayette Central Catholic got fouled on a 3-point shot. There was about 1.4 seconds left when the ball was inbounded, so he caught it and shot. The official called a foul, but they basically declared that was the end of that overtime period. There was no time on the clock. They took a few minutes to figure that out. In Gainbridge Fieldhouse, you have to put time on the clock actually to get the red lights around the shot clock and around the glass to go off. So it was a little confusing for the crowd. I caught on what they were trying to do though, and they were trying to get the red lights to go off. But where my confusion came in was, they declared that the overtime period was dead, but they or was over. But after the player from Lafayette Central Catholic made the first of 3 free throws, they awarded a timeout to North Davies. I was not aware that you could utilize a timeout if there was no time left on the clock. I did search the rule book. That's obviously a very specific situation. I didn't find anything directly related to that. I'm going to scan back through one more time. I had obviously some back and forth with Tony Adrana, Coach Adrana on Twitter. Obviously, he does some work for the Assembly Call. So ch obviously, check those folks out. But he was kind of asking the same question, and I kind of chimed in. I wasn't sure kind of what the ruling there was. I did find out that they're allowed to utilize one timeout in that situation. So it was very interesting. I'm going to try to get some more answers on that for those of you that were there or that watched that 1A game. It was obviously a very, very specific situation at the end. Lafayette Central Catholic player went on to miss the second free throw. There, the game was over. North Davies was crowned state champions, but a very, very, very interesting end to that game. You hate to see it end that way. Kid from Lafayette Central Catholic was on the free throw line all by himself in front of thousands of fans, state championship on the line, and that's how it goes down. And it's that's a tough way to go out. But the officials in the Class 1A game did an incredible job. There was a little whistle happiness, but fans got frustrated. And the thing that I've learned to keep in mind is, we're not there to decide how the game's going to be played. The officials react to how the game is going to be played. So for everybody that is like, hey, you guys got to decide how the game's going to be played. No, that's not true at all. We call fouls, we call violations. Okay, we're not out there like, if you want to be physical. Obviously there's a line. Basketball is a contact sport. Physicality is allowed, but there's a line that you cannot cross. If you foul, it's going to be called, whether you think that the foul imbalance is correct or not. There's an argument to be made there where if the teams are playing pretty evenly, that's where the consistency has to come in. I mean, obviously, if team A is much more physical than team B, odds are team A is going to be called for more fouls. But if the play is pretty even on both ends of the floor, that's where you don't want to really see foul discrepancies, because that's a glaring, it's obvious that there's discrepancies in decision making on the officials end. So But yeah, otherwise it was a great game. The Class 1A game, double overtime, North Davies won. It was just an incredible atmosphere to be in. So, and obviously the 2A game was Providence pretty much handled Central Noble throughout. Really, the game was physical, but I didn't really see much of a any issue with the officiating there. And then the 3A game was Beech Grove versus Mishawaka Marion. Again, it was a physical game. There's a lot more size in that game, a lot more athleticism. So, and that's what that's where things can get a little tricky. The game moves so fast. You got these players that are extremely athletic. You don't want to punish athleticism when it comes to, like, over the back calls and things of that nature. But it was a really good game. I don't remember having any quarrels with the officiating. There was a few calls that could have went either way. I think there was a block that was all ball. I don't remember the exact situation. It was pretty obvious. I think the official was just not in the correct position. But nothing that really would have affected the outcome of the game at all. The 4A game wasn't much of a contest. Cathedral was up 10-0 in about the first 90 seconds. Chesterton just looked stunned by the overall talent and athleticism from the Cathedral team. So Xavier Brooker looked good. Tyshawn Comer looked good. Jackson Edwards going to Murray State looked pretty phenomenal. So you can't really, can't fault Chesterton. I don't know that they saw that level of competition all year, and it showed. But from an officiating standpoint, it was awesome to see. All the officials. Obviously, there's usually a big contingent of officials that don't work the state games that go. It's definitely a good, a good group to be a part of. So I've definitely enjoyed my first year. I'm looking forward to more of it. So I did watch the UConn women's game. College officiating is very suspect in most cases this year, and in the previous years as well. But there was just a lot of missed calls, which usually is a sign of somebody being out of position. I'd have to go back and rewatch that. I was obviously at Kilroy's enjoying the break in between state sessions yesterday, downtown Indy. So I'll have to go back and watch that before I really get too deep on the comments on that. But shout out to the Hoosiers, the IU women's team, and a phenomenal year, a phenomenal run for Nicole Cardano-Hillary. Allie Patberg, those two will obviously live forever in IU history for IU women's basketball. And then, so I will obviously watch the two Elite Eight games today. You have St. Peter's, North Carolina, and then you have Miami versus Kansas. So definitely keep tabs on those two games today. If there is obviously any big moments officiating wise, I will make sure to put some comments in our next episode. So again, I didn't want to take forever on this first episode. Just it's certainly a welcome back. I'm happy to be back. Just kind of want to give some insight of what I'm going to do. Obviously, I'd love to talk sports. So obviously, there will be some sports analysis on here. This is just a sports podcast. Obviously, it's going to be heavily sprinkled with an official's point of view. So certainly will be fun to talk about that. Hopefully get some folks on here in the future to talk with me as well. So that will do it for today. Obviously you can follow me on Twitter at Hosh, Hosh point, Point 0. So it's Hosh point O, but the O is the number 0. Please follow me there. Obviously I will try to commentate when I can on those games this afternoon and this evening. So I will look forward to speaking with you all soon on the next episode. Again, I greatly appreciate you tuning in. Please, any thoughts, comments, tips, anything you want to talk about, listen to me talk about, please let me know at me on Twitter. I will definitely make sure to share the numerous ways to get a hold of me. Until then, I greatly appreciate the listenership, I guess is what you want to call it. But thank you. Thank you for listening to the official opinion. Until next time.